Hi, I'm Marlena, and you're listening to the Marlena Program, heard weekly at this time on ACB Radio Mainstream. For the next 2 hours, give or take, we'll be taking your phone calls at 866-666-7926. Love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your ideas, your suggestions, your opinions, whatever. Why don't you come on in, get comfy, spend some time with me, and give me a call, huh? Right here on Marlena.
Good evening, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, depending on where you are here on Mainstream. Welcome to the Marlena program, and during the second hour, we'll be bringing Marlena on. She's home with Agnes, and she's doing quite well. Gary, the board guy, is home too, and Madeline is home. We'll see how they're faring. We talked to her briefly before the show, and they seem to be doing quite well. Let me give you the phone number that we're going to be using tonight. It's 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333. Again, the number 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333. Tonight, we're going to be bringing on two really neat women, and many of you know Debbie Hazelton because she was at the ACB convention, and you, many of you listen to her podcast, and many of you who have listened to her podcast will remember listening to a woman by the name of Marilyn, who is a sex therapist, and she's going to be joining us along with Debbie Hazelton tonight, and we're going to be talking about dating and all things related to that in reference to both sighted and blind people, and what is the difference between things that are different for blind people versus sighted people, like body language and things like that. And we're going to dive into a little bit about education and how blind people versus sighted people are taught in reference to sexuality. And so we do know that we do have a number of young listeners, so we're definitely going to try to keep this appropriate for them as well, but we're going to be talking about some pretty mature subjects tonight as well. So without further ado, let me bring on Debbie and Marilyn. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi. Great to be here. This is Debbie. Great to be here, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. And hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Deb. Looking forward to speaking with your audience and to both of you this evening.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Now, Marilyn is on the road. All of you can probably hear her her car in the background, and so she may cut in and out depending on how the cell phone world treats her tonight. And let's all hope that that goes well. So,
and I'm on Vonage, and I don't know why that sometimes sounds a little staticky, but if mine... I apologize for that.
Yeah, you sound a little staticky, but it's okay. You're sounding okay. So I thought I'd start this out by asking a little bit about children first, before we kind of, you know, get into more of our adult worlds and talking about that. But I found that as a child. Now, my parents really didn't talk much about, you know, obviously not a lot about dating when we were young, but even about sexuality or anything like that, let alone with my brother or me, and my brother was sighted. Now, was that true with you, Debbie?
I remember my mother talking about menstruation, but that was the only thing that she actually told me. I remember finding something in a book and hearing it from some of the kids in the neighborhood, and I actually don't know how much of that is blindness related and how much of that's related to the generation that my mother was in, that, you know, was really one of, we don't talk about that kind of thing very well, you know. So
yeah,
That's what I always attributed it to.
I think the same. That was the same for me. But I'm thinking now, and we'll get your opinion on this, Marilyn, that things are really changing. At least I hope they are. Do you think that that's really kind of changing as far as parental involvement in talking about topics like this, Marilyn?
Well, I have a lot of parent workshops that I lead, and I also go up to camps for children who happen to be visually impaired and blind. And there are more and more parents who are wanting to know how should we present things, what should we be talking about. And one of the big differences is that it's very important that children who are blind and visually impaired have information about their bodies, and in learning about their bodies, that they really give them self-confidence, while a sighted child may not have the verbal information. They may be noting the differences and at least have a sense of, I see this is like me, or this is not like me. Where I think that for the blind child, there needs to be opportunities to learn about their bodies and also to have a sense that there are similarities and differences.
Yeah.
And
go ahead, Debbie.
I'd like to add to that. I think that the other thing that's very important, I think a lot of times blind children get sort of handled. You know, all children get handled. It's easier to just do something to them rather than to maybe show them how to do it themselves. And I think blind children, especially if somebody feels inadequate at how to show somebody how to do something, or they just want to be controlling, which sometimes happens, there's this tendency, and I think a blind child can often get the message, oh, gosh, I guess, well, they don't even know that they've gotten the message that their body isn't their own. And I think it's real important. That is a huge issue for me in my work and in my personal life, that, you know, our bodies are our own, and we need to know what is ours and what is not ours. And that's healthy in healthy boundaries and healthy in healthy intimacy building.
Sure.
And that can also happen with space. What I have observed, and also what a lot of the blind students have said to me, is, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize until I was told about appropriateness of space or somebody coming into my space, whether that is to do something like rearranging my hair, and that's, I think, what you're talking about, Deb, is whoa, wait a minute, you didn't ask if I wanted you to rearrange my hair, all the way down to washing somebody's private parts, when really we're asking parents of all children, but particularly children, where there are some differences, and in this case, blindness, to name the body parts when washing, put the washcloth into the child's hand and say, this is your private part, and we're going to wash your private part, but we're putting the washcloth in your hand, and I'm going to guide your hand, even to very specific things like that, where the message is, this is a very special part, and one just doesn't grab it, manipulate any of my body parts. And so space comes into that, too. And that's what I think that you're alluding to, Deb, that can get into dating, and that can get into how do I find out about another person as well.
Yeah. I find that my mom never really, you know, approached it that way either. It was more of a, you know, and I think... In my opinion, this should start when you're 3, 4, 5 years old.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to say, you know, the words of what these parts of our body are. I think that's pretty important. Now what about, and we'll get to the dating aspect, but I think really all of this is really important before we lead up to all of this, all of that. What about, you know, when I can only speak from the male perspective, but when, you know, guys talk, and guys who can see, obviously probably see pictures, and, you know, whether they are intending to, or they actually just see, you know, young girls or women, you know, visually. And so they have some sort of an understanding of what a woman or a young girl looks like. Well, I think we may have lost Maryland.
I'm here.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't hear okay. The car. And I'm just wondering how that might come across for a blind child. I know for me, I'm going to tell a story here. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, I went over to spend some time at a friend's house, and they had a goat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Debbie, I think I told you this story. And the neighbor said, if you come over and milk the goat in the morning and at night, then you can take a gallon of goat's milk home. And I love goat's milk. And I thought, well, this is awesome. So I went over there every day, and I was there for about 3 days, and I milked the goat. And one time when we were there, I asked the guy, I said, hey, I have a question. Is this what a girl looks like, you know, as far as, you know, breasts are concerned? And, of course, he had no way of, I mean, I remember this vividly. You know, he was like, well, you need to talk to your parents about that. You know, it was very, you know, because I had no idea. I mean, as a blind child of mm-hmm. 10 or 11 years old, you know, some people might argue that, well, you shouldn't know what a breast looks like. Well, I don't think that's necessarily true.
It is not true, because sighted children grow up seeing a lot of images and recognizing, I'm smaller, you're bigger. The questions are very normal about why is my penis small and daddy's is big? How come I don't have a penis? This is a little girl. And so one of the really great aspects right now that we use are the anatomically correct dolls. Both child dolls and adult dolls, both as before puberty and after puberty, so that blind children can not only feel and in that way get the sense of what are breasts like, what are they like, and also what is pubic hair and what does that mean and where is it, and if somebody is talking about a vagina, what is it, where is it, and it's very interesting to see how a lot of blind children have no idea where parts are, because we haven't given them a doll. We haven't given them a book with raised line drawings, which we do have now and have been used more and more for those of us who do the sexuality education. And they really have been a godsend because
right.
a lot of children have great questions. That was a wonderful question you had.
Yeah.
Well, and I know sighted women who don't know their own anatomy, you know,
yes.
just don't know how many different orifices or holes they have,
right.
and what
yeah.
purpose, they
mm-hmm.
just don't know.
Right.
And I remember that from other girls in college and clients that have come to me for counseling. But I think that when I raised this topic with some other blind people recently, and I talked about my plans for going back to school to get my doctorate in this whole area, one of them said that she thought that was real important because not only did she not know about other bodies, but she didn't know what to call attraction. She didn't know, you know, what that was.
And yeah, exactly.
I think it goes back to the old, you know, sort of the old myths about disability and sexuality, you know, and the fear of people with disabilities being sexual people, and so then labeling them us as eternal children and you know, treating as such and not really validating and recognizing this, you know, person here who happens to be blind, this child or adult, as a sexual person. And I mean, we're sexual even when we're children, you know?
That's right.
We are.
Yeah, whether you even know it, you know, or not. Yeah.
Exactly.
The number
that's the not knowing that is exactly, I can really identify with that, Deb, because many times when children are growing up and are sighted and they can see somebody, even, let's say, looking with wonder at another body or looking with, oh, wow, isn't she or he well built? And there's the body language, the eyes, the energy, the visual energy says a lot, and how adults visually and sometimes not even verbally respond gives a lot of cues and cues to children. Now, they're not always positive when they're sighted. I certainly agree with Deb that there's a lot of misinformation in the sighted community. I think what happens, though, is a lot of gathering information. What does a child look like? What does a child in pre-puberty look like, a young person? What happens when your body begins to develop? I'm going to say the range of
right.
normalcy, you know, like students will say to me, my one breast is growing bigger than the other, and I can normalize that, and we see some pictures and books, or one boy who, it's very normal for boys to say, well, how come one, and they'll usually say balls, one testicle is lower than the other,
right.
and sometimes they may even not even know that they're called that, but also to know that that would be a very normal thing if they're not looking at their brother, their cousins, in the shower, with males. All of those are very, very important, not only normalizing, but validating curiosity, validating
That's right.
the human experience. So, yes.
Sure.
Let's give the number one more time. It's 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333. Now, I wanted to talk a lot about this whole topic of communicating with people, and I think this is a topic that really is not discussed enough with blind children, or blind adults for that matter. I think mm-hmm. This really became apparent to me when I became involved in not so much in a sexual orientation, but more just in how I communicated with people. When I became involved in a Toastmasters organization, do both of you know what that is?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. It's a public speaking organization, and I would give speeches, and the feedback, because they give you feedback, that's the whole part of the process, and the majority of the feedback that I got was, you have no facial expression. You have no expression whatsoever when you're talking. I mean, your voice does, but
yes.
in your body language, there is none.
Yes.
And I think this is really crucially important, because when you grow up, at least from what I understand, and Marilyn, you can correct me here. We have a caller actually too. We'll ask the caller to we're going to bring the caller on, but we're going to ask the caller to hold on a second. One of the things that caller, hold on 1 second, okay? Caller, can you hear me? I think the caller hung up. That's all right. They'll probably call back. Caller, call us back. 866-400-5333-866-400-JEFF. One of the things is that sighted children, I think, just learn it from being around other people. Whereas blind people, they can't learn,
sure.
You know, facial expression. And I think a lot of facial expression I have learned, in fact, I still do it today, is just inherently in how we communicate. Like if you grin at somebody, and you may not even know you're grinning at them.
Yeah, but you know, I think some of that goes back to the first issue about being comfortable in our bodies and being confident and knowing that our bodies are our own. I mean, you know, yeah, we may not see facial expressions of other people, but I don't know that we really have to be taught to laugh, to cry, to smile. But I think what we need is to know something about the kinds of body language maybe that other people have, to get some of that information, and maybe about our own if we trust, from people we trust, not from the whole world. But at the same time, to feel at home in who we are, so that then the expression and the feeling can flow naturally. Because I know that when I haven't felt real at home, I mean, I'll be on guard, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's going to be a holding back. that happens, and that's, you know, that makes sense.
But I think, and caller, hold on just one second, but I think one of the things, Debbie, is that let's say that, you know, you're a teenager and there's a girl that you, or a guy that you like, and, you know, you may not be aware that maybe you're really looking at them, and, or, you know, that you're looking right at them because you can't see them, and the expression on your face is, you know, ooh, 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 and, you know, you're not sure how they're going to respond to that because the other person can't look back at you. And I think this is something that's difficult for some people. Okay, hello, caller, and welcome to the Marlena program.
Well, Jeff, this is Marlena.
Hey, Marlena.
Yay!
Hi. Oh boy, you guys are talking about. And I wanted to say hello to dear Debbie and hello to Marilyn.
Hi.
But I also want to say that, you know, I heard Marilyn speaking about the doll, and you know, when I was a young girl, and I was 11 and 12, and my body was beginning to change, being a totally blind child, I thought there was something horribly wrong with me.
Yes.
And I, even though, you know, my parents had sat and talked with me, my mom, and, you know, and she told me the things that I needed to know about how I would grow and change, et cetera. I spent about 6 months of my life just living in absolute fear and shame because I was not aware that other young girls around me were changing in a similar fashion.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in a public school, so I didn't have a lot of blind friends at that time to discuss these things with. And I will never forget that part of my life because I really did think that there was something horribly wrong with me. And
sure.
That it was something that was worse than being blind. It was that I was changing in such an odd way that I would never be like everybody else. So I really commend you guys for doing this show, and I really want to urge people who are listening to call in and participate because this is such an important topic, and there are so few venues in which we who are blind can really discuss and share and say, hey, because I couldn't see, man, I thought I was the only one. And it just feels really good for me to release that all these years later. So that's really all I wanted to say.
Well, Marlena, now before we let you go, what about, you know, attraction to you know, guys, for example, as you were growing up, did you find that to be more difficult? Do you think maybe as a blind person, you know, trying to communicate that to them?
I can remember going to school dances where, again, I was the only blind kid, and now we're talking like 9th grade, 10th grade,
right,
11th grade, and I was the only blind kid in my school, and I can remember sitting at school dances and saying, please, God, let someone ask me to dance. Please,
exactly.
God,
yeah,
do
sure.
I look like everybody else? Do I, am I pretty? Do I look like the other girls do?
Yeah.
And then I did, for a very short period of time, go to Perkins School for the Blind. And I know Perkins has changed its philosophies tremendously now, so what I'm about to say is absolutely no reflection on the wonderful work that they now do with folks, but rather a reporting of the misguidedness of what they did, in my opinion, the misguidedness back in the 60s. they would pack up all the girls, junior and senior year girls, on the bus and take us to a boys' academy, and they would line us up, and the boys could pick from the line who they wanted to
Oh my gosh, wow.
And I can remember standing there saying, oh my God, what a lot. And by this time I'm now like 17. And I can remember standing there saying, oh my God, what do these boys look like? Where are they? And what'll I do if nobody picks me?
Yeah.
So I really think that the whole topic of how you explain, how you body image, how you really bring a totally blind person through puberty and into young adulthood is a critical thing. Mm-hmm. And I just so congratulate you for this show, because it's a topic that people don't discuss, and
we don't talk about it enough.
Well, and even to take in that further into how do we flirt, because one of the other people I was talking with mentioned that. I know that one of the things that has happened and still happens with me is I get more verbal, because I rely on being verbal. And, well, if most people who begin to flirt and reach out rely on eye contact, well, guess what? Verbal may be just too much to blow them away.
Now,
Marilyn.
I agree, because there are, you know, from what all of you are saying is when I watch students, there is a lot that is non-verbally communicated by eyes, by distancing, by someone coming up, and even, and my heart goes out to Marlena when you're lining up, because in many, many times, someone comes up to you and asks you to dance, and you aren't attracted to that person at all, and it's very embarrassing, and you're not sure what you don't want to go dancing with the person, and yet what do you do? And I think that it is so important to have discussion groups about what is the basis of attraction then? Mm-hmm. Is it a voice quality? Is it something they're interested in? Is it a sense of humor? And I agree, Deb, that for let's say a sighted person, a blind person's comfort in flirting may be overwhelming to them, just like when I work with deaf people. A deaf person's direct signing, because the joke is hearing people always take too long to sign, oh gosh, you know, blah, 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 all right, and that a lot of times hearing people are going, oh my gosh, this directness of the sign. And I think it's very interesting, because I think most people feel the same. What Marlena was saying about, I must be the only one. So many mm-hmm. people have said that.
Yeah.
Blind, sighted, deaf.
Yeah.
But the opportunity to really talk about it, and then also to find, how do other people flirt? What
mm-hmm.
are my ways then to flirt? And Deb, I love your statement about when you become more comfortable with who you are, then mm-hmm. you find the best way in these discussions for you to flirt, or for you to be comfortable with space. But it does take a very safe space to communicate about that, even more so with children who have any kind of special needs.
So now, Marilyn.
Now,
Marilyn, when you're teaching blind children at, you know, camps and things like that, do you spend time talking about, you know, what sighted people do, you know, how do they flirt? How do they communicate?
Yeah, before she answers that, I'm going to hang up so it'll free up your line.
Okay, great.
No,
thanks, Marlena. We'll talk to you in the next half hour
thanks
or so.
Thanks, you guys.
Okay.
If the children are at, let's say, a preteen, they're always asking. They ask me about if somebody sees, how do they look at you,
mm-hmm.
how would you look at them, how would you know they like you, if they looked at you? Would they say something? Would they be close to you? Would I had one just a fabulous experience where one of the boys said, could I breathe specially? If I really liked a girl, could I breathe specially on her? Would they, and I'm thinking, yes, that would be a way that somebody might really want to do something special. And as Deb said, it could scare somebody who's sighted because they need to know that would be something very special from that person. So there has to be some communication about it. But there are many questions about that. How close, how much, what kinds of contact, what kinds of nonverbal, what if somebody doesn't like me and they're nonverbally by their vision telling other people they don't like me, I don't know it, I won't be able to see it,
right,
but I
all that.
Oh my gosh, and there's a lot of concerns, and so we do talk about how that might feel and what are ways that you can, with a safe person, begin to get information. Just as I believe in the same way that I need to get information from people who are deaf and people who are blind and people who are gay or people who are transgender, because I need to also learn from each person who experiences life different than I, and I can share that as well.
Yeah. Have a frame of reference, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
The number 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF, and we have a caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the Marlena program.
Hey, Jeff and Marilyn and Debbie. It's Nikki Kobe.
Nikki Kobe, how are you?
Hello. I'm all right. I'm really glad you guys are talking about this.
Yes.
There's a lot of different comments I could make, but I was very excited to hear you talk about boundaries and the setting of boundaries, because I think as a kid, period, of having someone do hand over hand, which for me was very much something I did not like. I did not like having someone practically sitting on top of me to show me something, and yet it was one of those, well, I know you don't like this, but, and there was always that big but, it's going to, you know, kind of, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yep.
And while it was, you know, very well intended, they wanted to show me something, it also took the control away. And I remember being, I think I was in like ninth grade, and I was starting to develop and starting to understand what that meant. And I was with my family over Christmas vacation, and an aunt of mine and my grandmother and a couple other people were talking about their bra sizes, which was not something I was comfortable with at the time. And I just kind of sat there and ignored the conversation. Well, my aunt walks over and says, well, what size are you? But then she grabbed onto my shirt.
Yikes.
Be okay.
Oh, yuck.
And at the time I thought, well, I just, you know, it's my aunt. I have to let her do that. Whereas now my reaction would probably be very different. But I think setting boundaries isn't something that's necessarily discussed. I remember the first time my one of my teachers, I think I had a piece of hair in my face, and she reached over to brush it, and she said, I'm sorry, that wasn't very nice. I should have warned you and asked you if it was okay. And I almost fell over.
Thank you.
I'm like...
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
There's a woman at work, and however many times I tell her, you know, like if she sees something, you know, like if I miss a button or, you know, something like that, she'll run up and like, grab it, and you know, and I've had to tell her, you know, 3 and 4 times, hey, you know, why don't you just tell me, you know? And
I do sensitivity training with groups, and I have an activity that just at that and some other things, and Marilyn has done this training with me a lot of times, and I, you know, one of the messages that people are dealing with in it is wipe something off my chin or wipe something off the front of me, and they get that feeling of what it's like to have somebody do something to them.
Yeah, just and walk
I
up and...
Really, yeah, and I, you know, a blind person doesn't see it coming.
No,
you know,
no, you have no idea.
Security. airport security. They start grabbing your stuff.
Perfect.
And, you know, I really believe that those kinds of situations are a form of sexual abuse. They really affect our ability to be intimate or not, and they
or confident. Or confident,
yes.
Yeah.
And they also are a setup for us to be very angry. And so I think part of the getting comfortable is working through the anger and saying, okay, I have a right to be angry, but I need to handle this in a way that's going to help me still make friends and not drive everybody away because I'm mad about being violated.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. And
that balance.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Being clear about those boundaries, and it's a very, I'm really glad we're talking about this because whether it's addressing or whether it's being close or dancing or grabbing, many, many times then how does that set up somebody for talking on a date, for interacting? And Deb, you're right on. And in a sexual situation, then do I wait for somebody to do something to me, or hope to God they do something to me?
Yeah, right.
Or do I am so upset and angry that they wouldn't want to do anything, or they would be scared to do? Well, there's a middle ground of let's talk about what I'm comfortable with and what are you comfortable with, so that we have this sense of moving forward, let's say, in dating and intimacy and having sex. All of this are the ground, you know, the foundation for that. Yes.
Well, and also in terms of exploring someone else's body, if we're not taught to really be comfortable with our own, I mean, I used to get messages, if somebody handed me a box of candy, the message was, you take the first one you touch. Don't handle them. So you take that to getting to know people. Well, do you take the first one that comes along? Do you make choices about relationships? Do you get to, whether it's touch and feel or whether it's feel your feelings,
right.
But then in terms of exploring another person's body, how to move into that. And, you know, there's this message, don't touch. I used to walk through stores with my mother, and the message was, don't touch.
Oh, yeah, don't touch. You might break it.
How do you move from that into touching another person and feeling okay in terms of intimacy?
Now, Nikki, now that you're still here, right, Nikki?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Now, you're in college. And have you found, you know, like even just socializing with, you know, guys, for example, do you find that that's been difficult for you, or do you think that that's been, you know, what's that been like for you?
A little bit different because I'm at a women's college.
Oh, right.
And I don't, because of other health issues, I don't go off campus without... I do go off campus, but not a lot, unless if I'm with my parents, and then you really don't socialize.
No, not really.
yeah.
At least not in the sense I think that you're...
Right.
You know.
Right. Now, what about in high school, though? What about when you were in high school? Because obviously there's that...
Do we have to go there?
Sure.
Well,
you don't have to.
I was very uncomfortable with it. I either went where I was very... Well, I had a group of people that decided that I needed to learn the body language of flirting, but
okay.
I could never tell if people were laughing with me or laughing at me.
Thank you.
So
I became very
uncomfortable with the whole interacting with guys thing.
Yeah.
So much so, I think it may have pushed me to a women's college. Now, I will say that this is the right school for me, and in my case, it's actually the degree I want. I can only get it here, so it's not that big of a deal. But, I mean, it did make me very uncomfortable, and I don't think that was the intent.
No, I want to agree with
that.
I was working with a group of, that was the exact question a group of blind young women were saying, and men, we need some feedback as to... When we hear people doing this, is that okay? Is that part of flirting? Is that part of okay group? Or when do we know, because we can't see their faces. We can't see what the bodies are doing. Mm-hmm. How would we get feedback? And I was asking them, would they like direct feedback? Would they like tone of voice that would give them that kind of feedback? I think we do need to have what a lot of people are asking for is some kind of feedback group, a place of safety, when Deb was talking about a safety, to give some kind of feedback. Because those are excellent, exact questions, right on questions.
And I think also for a person who's blind to learn to listen, well, what kind of response did that little flirty comment get me? Did it get a response? Did it get a laugh? Did it get somebody that walked away and didn't say anything? Did it get any encouragement to go forward?
But I think, Debbie, that when you're a teenager or even a young adult, let's say you're 18, 19, you're in college, I think that's really hard to gauge that if you've never been told,
right.
You know, these are the types of things you need to listen for.
But I think observation is something that should be taught very early.
Yeah.
Observing and listening skills and noticing tone of voice and even learning how to communicate and check it out. Hey, did I just put you off when I said that?
Exactly.
I mean, that doesn't even have to be about flirting. That could be about a lot of things.
Right. So now, Marilyn, let's say that they don't have the benefit of you, you know, at a camp type situation. What do you think is the best way? And Nikki, we're going to go ahead and let you go so we can get another caller in, okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Can I make one comment?
Oh, sure.
Thank you very much.
Sure, go ahead, Nikki.
I was, one of the things, I think, I don't know how many years ago, I was at the National Alliance of Blind Students meeting, and I don't remember the name of the speaker, but she said one of the most important things for you to have is a mirror, someone that can give you that feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I would just say that if there's anyone out there that is a young adult, it becomes so much more clear when you're in college. And the first time you try to wear a new outfit, that you need someone that can tell you, is that good or bad? And so if you are looking for a new place in life, one of the first things I would say is find a mirror. Find someone who will give you good feedback.
That's awesome.
Thank you. That is exactly, in fact,
okay, we'll
I really
go,
appreciate.
I enjoy the rest of the show.
Yes. Yes, I absolutely went to it. That's exactly what I would say, is to have someone safe in the school to be what we call the shadow or the coach, but someone who's also going to be, I'm going to say, sympathetic and empathetic to the age development of the person, not the parent, but a person who is also going to be understanding of the sexuality development. So that if someone is wanting to wear something a little risque or wear something a little unique that maybe not everybody is wearing, but if somebody wants to express something, okay, this is not what everybody's wearing, but tell me why you would want to wear it. So that if you're going to get some kind of feedback, you want to know, yes, I'm wearing this different because. And then you may be prepared if people are going like, oh, why are you wearing your backpack in that way, or why are you wearing your skirt like that? If you do have that mirror and you get the feedback and you still want to present yourself in that way, you'll be prepared to say, well, this is me. That's the comfort level that Deb's talking about.
So you don't think that should be like a parent level age, right? It should probably be Not necessarily the same age, but maybe a little bit older. Is that what you're thinking, Marilyn?
Well, I like peer interaction for empathetic teens. I think teens like teenagers, and I also think there needs to be a coach or a person like Deb, a mental health person, who also can get into the feeling end of it as well, not just this is what's in, and this is, you know, what's hot to wear, then you want to see, do you want to be a clone of everybody else, of which some students do, but then some students really want to be their own person, and I wouldn't want to encourage every blind teenager to look like every hearing teenager.
Right.
But to really see, what about your spirit? What do you want to come out? And to be prepared if somebody says something, yeah, this is me. This is how I wear, you know, my hair or my earrings or my whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to have that mirror. I totally agree with that, because then the feeling is, oh, I'm going to be taken off guard if somebody says something and I'm not
right.
prepared.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting. 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333. We have about 10 minutes left here. Go ahead, Debbie.
I noticed that we've been hearing from two women calling in so far, and that is often typical when talking about things like these. But, you know, I think that what we're talking about affects
men
and boys
too.
Just as much
absolutely.
As girls and women.
Sure, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit about, we need to be a little careful when we broach this topic, but I want to talk a little bit about intimacy here. And even to the point of you know, when people are in high school or even in college, you know, they'll see, you'll walk down the street or whatever and you'll see, you know, a couple kissing each other, you know, things like that. And I think, at least for me, initially, it was quite a difficult thing to, you know, yes, I want to kiss this girl, but I'm not even sure, like, where her lips are.
Thank you.
You know, or like, do I put my arms around her, or do I just like walk up and like, you know, how do I do that? I mean, you know, let alone when you get married. We have a caller. Hello, caller. Let's see. Hello, caller. Welcome.
Jeff?
Yes, welcome to the Marlena program.
Hi, it's Pam.
Hello, Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Pam.
How are you? You know,
hi.
I came in late on this, and when I walked in, when I logged on, we're talking about relationships, but I think what I have to say fits, because we are talking about how do you know what sighted people do, and
right.
And it, I believe that it does fit. I had been with Dave for several months, maybe even a couple of years, and we went to his parents' home one weekend, and all of a sudden his mother said to me, just very non-judgmentally, why are you cutting your bacon? And I said, I thought I was supposed to.
No, now, isn't that interesting?
I had always, and I had never been told not to, and in our home, my mother was very patrician, and about the only things permissible with the fingers were fried chicken and sandwiches and french fries. So, of course, I thought bacon is big, long piece of bacon.
Right.
You cut it.
Right.
And nobody ever told me anything. And I thought, you mean we don't cut it. You don't have to cut it. And I kind of went, And something else, fried fish, I believe. She also said, you know, you're trying to cut this, just pick it up. And I'm going, oh, okay.
Like a breaded
fish. I certainly
like
that idea a lot better, but here I was struggling to cut bacon, and finally, after she felt she knew me well enough, she asked me why.
Well, that brings up a really interesting point about in social environments, especially where you're eating, for example. You know, that can be a pretty traumatic situation for a blind, you know, individual, you know, in a sighted type situation, especially if, you know, they're not taught appropriately, or maybe they were taught but they're a little bit different than, say, the norm, and that probably plays a significant role in, you know, that probably plays a pretty significant role in you know, relationships and things like that.
Well, I also think that blind children and adults, in a way, I think maybe we relate differently to our bodies than sighted people. I think in some ways we're closer to our bodies, and in other ways, because of not getting the information, we may not know what to do with our bodies, or we might know but not know how to connect that to being with other people. So
right.
I think even more than just the information, which, you know, sometimes sighted people will give in a very sort of pejorative way, rather than even really knowing the frame of reference and knowing how to tune in and
right.
understand.
Right. You have anything else, Pam?
I remember I was very pleased to discover that I learned how to cut, and I've not really felt uncomfortable eating in public. I have to say that once in a while, Yes, the piece of lettuce is a little big. I do my best. I figure, which is worse, take it out and start over, or just say, uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I do.
Yeah. All right.
But, yeah, I was very glad to know that I did not have to make what turned out to be this extra work for myself.
There you go. There you go.
Bacon, and I haven't got a piece of bacon since.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, Pam.
I think Dave would, if Dave could have a second.
Oh, sure.
He knows you want a guy, so he's
okay.
He's
good. Good.
So here we are.
Hello, Dave.
Hello. How are you doing? Can you hear me? First of all, with two phones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, it probably would be better if she could hang up the other one. That way,
I'll
we can hear you a little
right
better. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Basically, are you still there?
We're here. Mm-hmm. Yep. We can hear you much better now.
Yeah. Good. Okay. You were starting to talk before about intimacy,
yes,
and guys and stuff. I had a big problem with that in high school.
Yeah, me too,
really,
actually.
Did. What?
Me too, actually.
Did,
yeah.
Yeah. My first date in high school was actually grad night.
Mm.
You know, that's we had a grad night party, you know, after graduation. And I got finally asked this girl on out, and kind of figured, well, they were going to have, you know, a bus, and they were going to bus us all to Disneyland, so that sort of, you know, got rid of the ride issues, and so that seemed to work. I don't know, I really had a problem, and I think, unfortunately, there's a huge danger, and I want to be very careful, because I don't want to,
right,
but one of the things that happened to me was some pretty inappropriate stuff went down, frankly, because with a teacher for the blind at the time. Did some pretty inappropriate things. And
yeah, mm-hmm.
I don't really want to go any farther than that.
No, that's fine.
The same happened to me to an amateur radio friend, actually, and me, when I was over at his home. And yeah, I know. I mean, I think this all comes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, what is appropriate, what isn't appropriate, you know, type behavior, too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have parents that don't talk about sexuality,
right,
and stuff like that. You know, what is appropriate, what isn't appropriate. But
and that this is your body.
Exactly.
And you have rights and boundaries. You have rights to your body.
Years later, my father said, you know, if we'd known, that, you know.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I told my parents that, you know, 10, 15 years later, and they were like, well, why didn't you say something? Well, you know, I didn't know, what was I supposed to do? Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, really.
Anyway, but it is interesting. I think we as blind boys can fall into that a lot more. And the one of the things I asked, I said, why do you do this? Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That's okay. You go ahead.
No. Well, I was going to ask you, Dave. Did you find, as a young, you know, male growing up, did you find my mic is falling here? Did you find that a woman's body was a bit foreign to you in reference to, you know, what to expect, or, you know, anything like that? Was that something that was, because that really was a big issue for me.
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to resolve the issue. You know, we didn't
right.
have a Playboy like, you know,
no,
my
no, no,
friends did,
no.
You know. And I didn't have, you know, it was very, no.
And by the way, the Braille,
delay, I don't know.
And by the way, the Braille Playboys do not have pop-up pictures.
No. No, but it's always fun.
I always thought they should have blow-ups, but they don't.
It's fun to pretend.
No, I never thought about it, but I do think that was an issue.
Yeah.
But
well,
one
I,
of the
I think
other
even
issues that
go
came
ahead.
Up at the time, I asked the teacher why he was doing this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why he was, in this case, why he was being gay. And his answer was, well, when you're blind, you get it any way you can.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, I still remember that
yeah.
40 years later. You know,
yep.
That tells you.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, this person was cited, actually, when it happened to me, but similar type situation. So, okay, Dave, we'll let you go
okay.
and
you
we'll get another
Thank
caller
you.
In.
Take care.
Bye-bye. 866-400-5333. 866-400-JEFF. Now, I want to go back to this. Marilyn, you still with us?
No, I
thought we lost her.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, I thought we lost her.
Yeah, darn.
Is there something you want me to...
Well, I wanted to go back to this topic a little bit about, you know, intimacy. Even from the standpoint of just, you know, giving someone a kiss, and even, for example, let's say that you get married. For me, that was a really difficult situation, and this comes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the call, which was, you know, being able to know what things look like and things like that. We have a caller, actually. Hello, caller. Welcome to the Marlena program.
Yes, hello, Jeff. My name is Hap.
Hello there, sir.
And I'm a longtime fan of Marlena.
Mm-hmm.
What I find fascinating, first of all, this is an amazing program. I think Marlena needs to have more of these type of programs. And in the 55 years I've been around, I haven't heard one quite like this. And I find it fascinating and enlightening as well.
Yeah.
I think as a young blind boy, I learned about girls, and, you know, anatomically, if you will, on a vicarious way, through, of course, slow dancing in junior high,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, then later on in high school. But it was very difficult. Hang on for one second. I forgot to turn my radio down.
There. Oh, that'd be a good thing to do. Now, that brings up a good point. Why you're doing that is, you know, a lot of people are teased, you know, like, for example, did you see the movie If You Can See What I Hear? Did you guys see that movie?
Oh, yeah.
And there was a lot of this stereotypical stuff in that movie where, you know, the actor would, you know, like, you know, grope a woman and stuff. And you know, there was a lot of that in that movie. And, you know, so, of course, that gave the persona of, you know, well, blind people just do this, you know. And maybe some people, you know, well, shoot, some sighted guys do this, I suppose. So I'm not sure really it's blind or sighted necessarily. But, wow, that's a tough way to find out, though, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't that be kind of embarrassing both for, I don't know. I think that would be somewhat difficult, wouldn't you think, Debbie?
He was
talking about, you know, finding out, you know, more about girls by slow dancing.
Oh, sure.
And I think that could be kind of embarrassing, you know, for both the guy and more importantly the girl on the dance floor too.
Sure. Oh yeah, especially if there's any groping going on,
yeah.
And you're trying to, you know.
Well,
and
a lot of that can happen without doing that, but I mean, even
sure.
The closeness of it, I think,
yeah.
Especially a blind person could feel sort of intimidated.
And yes, absolutely. And most often, people, you know, when they're not used to dancing and then not used to, you know, how to feel or be with this other person, there's a lot of nervousness and awkwardness,
right.
And
right.
Sure, and giddiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I can imagine all of that.
Right. Did you have any other comments, sir?
No, except that I think it's a fascinating area, and I think one that long overdue to be discussed.
Yeah,
I agree.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. We actually have another caller that wants to get in here, I can
good.
See.
Good. Have a good day.
You too, then. Thank you for calling. 866-400-5333. 866-400-Jeff and caller. I did see that you were trying to call in. Call right back. We'll get you right on here. I can actually tell when people call in. And so, you know, when you get married or involved in a really serious relationship, I think a lot of these issues of concern are mitigated by having a caring person there to assist in situations like that. But it certainly can be really intimidating. Even so, wouldn't you agree,
Debbie? Well, sure. Yeah, because I think, I mean, a lot of married couples, whether there's anyone in the couple that's blind or not, a lot of married couples get to a point where they don't always know how to talk about things, and things just don't get addressed. And so if some of these things don't get to be addressed early on, they might not.
Exactly.
And so I think, and, you know, I mean, I think I've heard statistics that the average married couple spends maybe 15 minutes a day or less even getting to talk.
Yeah.
So, you know, to
yeah, let alone
really,
anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody has different needs and different of you. Remember the Annie Hall movie where, you know, Woody Allen is talking to his therapist and he says, I can't believe that she only wants to have sex 3 times a week, and she's with her therapist, and she says, I can't believe he actually wants to have it 3 times a week, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, if couples don't get to talk, and much less before becoming a couple,
exactly.
You know, and a blind person doesn't get to explore all of that, wow, you know, it's,
exactly.
It's very difficult. And I think what happens is, like what Marlena said, there's that feeling of, oh, God, I'm alone. And so, and I don't dare talk about how, because the awkwardness and all the other things that aren't mentioned get turned into poor self-esteem.
Exactly.
And so there's that feeling of, I'm really not okay, and I don't dare broach this subject. I don't dare say that I don't know how to relate to my own body or somebody else's, or I don't dare say that I feel, you know, real inhibited or shy or mm-hmm. awkward about tasting and touching somebody else. And
right, right. Yeah. We have another. We have a caller, actually, Debbie.
Great.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the Marlena program.
Well, hey, it's Daryl and Karen.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
Can you hear us okay?
I can.
Okay.
Hi.
Did you have any comments for us tonight, Daryl?
Wow, I wasn't sure if I was going to call in or not, but here I am. I think that my experience with this has pretty much always been, and I think this is probably true, this is probably fairly common for blind people, maybe with other people with disabilities. I think that casual dating
mm-hmm.
is a lot less common.
Very much so, yeah.
I know for me, all the people I've dated have been friends for quite a long time first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that context, I didn't really have a lot of these issues as much. Because if you're exploring these things with someone that you're already close to as a friend, it's not as
right.
usually as big of a deal.
Well, I can remember, that brings up a really interesting point, Daryl. I can remember talking to a friend of mine, and we won't mention any names because she may be listening. and I can remember calling her on the phone and asking her, because my parents wouldn't talk to me about girls, you know, and asking her, you know, so what does a vagina look like? You know, and of course, and she was a blind person, and it threw her back. She's like, what? You know, what are you asking me this for? This is not appropriate, you know? And I'm like, well, yep. I've known you since we were in kindergarten, and I feel like I can ask, I feel safe asking you this question. And,
wow.
What? Yeah. I mean, you know, I was 15, 16 years old, and I had no idea. I mean, I had no clue about any of this. And, you know, I mean, it was a rather difficult,
sure.
you know, situation, and it kind of embarrassed her. But once we got past the embarrassment part, you know, she was able to talk at least a little bit about it, you know, and so, yeah, sure. It's I think everybody learns, you know, very differently whether you learn about breasts from a goat.
I remember feeling a child, a child's penis, and I remember feeling penises of little babies that I was changing diapers and things, but I remember when I first felt an adult-sized penis, I mean, I'm sure, you know, sighted women also, when they first see one and they think, oh my God, I don't know if I can have that in me, but
yeah.
that was my first feeling of, oh my God, there's no way you're going to put that in me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just, it's overwhelming.
Right.
But if you don't see that, if you don't grow up with seeing, you know, mommy and daddy ever,
right.
or brothers or sisters
or
whatever,
or whatever.
Yeah.
yeah, you never know these
sure.
things.
Sure, yeah.
Do you have any other comments, Daryl? Oh, I think Daryl is no longer with us.
I think so. I think that's it.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Daryl. 866-400-5333. We have one more. We have time for one more caller. I know there was one more that was wanting to get in, I think. 866-400-5. Oop, are you there?
I am. I'm here.
There we go. 866-400-5333. Well, as we're wrapping up here, Debbie, I want to thank you. This has been a fascinating discussion, and I hope that Marlena in the future will bring maybe you and Marilyn back and talk more about this topic, because I really think it's something that we don't talk enough about. Whether we're blind or not, I don't think people in society talk enough about communicating and being able to relate to one another, in this way. So,
well, I appreciate being here, and I do recognize it's an area that needs to be talked about a whole lot more, and I think you'll be seeing more of my work in the future will be about that, because and many more opportunities for discussions, because I think there's a real hunger and a real need. And Marilyn and I do a lot of work together in groups with that whole thing and training, and so
okay,
very glad to be here.
Yeah, we have one more caller here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the Marlena program.
Jeff Hawaii, it's Steve Guerra. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Guerra. How's it going tonight?
No complaints. I've been listening to you guys since maybe about the last half hour, since actually my girlfriend just left. And I have to tell you that in all the things I've been listening, it is at first a little intimidating when you start dating someone new and you go to give them a kiss and you go a little bit off center.
Sure, kiss their nose or something.
Corner of their mouth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a little intimidating. You wonder if this is going to work out or what the case may be. But I think if you start from the initial onset and speak to the person and let them know exactly how you feel, and that, look, I may not always be right on target with giving you a kiss, and don't take it the wrong way. It's not that I don't, but it's initial and open and honest and talking about things from the word get-go.
Right.
The lack of confidence will disappear, and you won't have that anymore, because the person you're with will, whether they have sight or not, and on the basis of them having sight, will work with you. But with, again, in being the situation, and not that I've been in that situation with two individuals who are totally blind, it can be, if you work things out together, you can work together. It's a mutual
absolutely
thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for that.
That's it. Jeff, have a great night. You're doing well with the show, and Debbie, thank you for being a guest.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
I've often said I'd like to see a comedy routine of two blind people feeding each other pie.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny.
Because, I mean, for two blind people to try to even find each other's hands or like Steve said, that first kiss. Although, there's always a way.
Oh, where there's a will, there's a way.
There's always a way.
Yeah, wherever you're going.
Yeah.
Indeed. Okay. Well, Debbie, thank you very, very much. And if you get a chance to give Marilyn a call, thank her for me. I'll call her later. It won't probably be tonight, because it's going to be late for her.
All
probably.
Right.
But do thank her. She was on a cell phone, for everybody's knowledge,
yes.
And so we think we kind of lost her when she went underneath a bridge or something. and I couldn't call her really back, because I would have to disconnect, or at least temporarily disconnect you while you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be kind of difficult to bring her back. So unfortunately, I'm sorry about that. But
all right. Well, I will call her right now.
Okay. Give her our... our thanks, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful show. Thank you very, very, very much.
Can I give out my email?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, if anybody does want to contact me in reference to this show or anything else, Healing Hands, that's just Healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, Hands, H-A-N-D-S, number 4, letter U, at DebbieHazelton.com. And Debbie Hazelton is DebbieHazelton.com. And I can always put you in touch with Marilyn also. Okay?
Great. Thank you very, very much, Debbie.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk
Thanks.
To you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we're going to bring Marlena on here in just a few minutes. And what I thought we'd do is, so that I can get a little bit of a break here too, go ahead and play the little tribute we did for Marlena, and that will make her cry, and so we can all hear her cry a little bit on the show. No.
And then what we'll do is we'll bring Marlena on, and we'll hear all about what happened at graduation, and how she and Agnes are doing, and how Madeline is doing with the new puppy dog in the house, and just how things are going, and how her last week went with her new guide. So that's what we're going to be doing here. And if you want to get in and talk to Marlena, then we'll be opening up the lines when we get Marlena on at 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333. And so we'll be back in about 10 minutes or so. This is about a 10-minute piece, and then we'll be back with Marlena. This will give me time to give her a call and get her on the phone and all that. So without further ado, let's listen to this, and then we'll be back again, 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF.
Yep.
Okay. Now, do you have your leash?
Yeah, I put it behind this door.
Okay, let's grab it. Wait. Oh, there it is.
On the lower one.
Okay, there you go. Okay, do you have your camera?
Yep.
Do you want to give it to me now?
Yep.
Okay. Uh-oh. Okay.
It's real easy. Just
okay.
Turn it on.
Okay. All right, come on down. Go get your girl. So let me tell you, here, take my arm. Okay. So you are getting Agnes. A-G-N-E-S.
Oh, God.
And she's a lab golden retriever cross. And she's a yellow lab golden retriever cross.
Okay. Okay. I guess if I could get used to Madeline, I can get used to Agnes.
It's actually very similar. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to take your leash and go get her.
Okay.
Okay. Right back.
Agnes. Okay. Agnes. 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 Agnes.
Marlene, you ready? Where's Agnes?
She's tiny.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so
like
tiny.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so tiny. Oh, and she's so soft. Yes. Okay. Agnes.
Molly's taking a picture of your lap.
Agnes. She's so tiny.
She's so tiny.
You got all kinds of things tangled up. Okay. Agnes, sit. Good girl. Okay.
She's going to try to melt onto the ground and have your header balance.
No, yes, I know.
What do you think,
Marlena? She reminds me of how Madeline was.
Really?
Yes.
Better.
Yes. Agnes, sit. Good girl. Agnes, down. Down. Good girl. Okay.
Just talk real calm to her. Otherwise, she's going to go to the roof right now. Okay, Marlena. Agnes is 21 and a half inches. She's 56.8 pounds, and she was born February 15th, 2005. So she's now 20 months old, and she'll be 2 this coming February, the day after Valentine's Day. You're making me cry. Aww. Can you clean up?
No, you can't eat it, you goofy thing.
Can I tell you what she looks like?
Yeah.
Agnes is a beautiful beautiful red color. You know how the yellow labs can go from like white to red?
Yeah.
She's like that. Oh, she's got a nice red color.
Sit. Good girl.
And you can feel she has really soft ears. Her whole coat is really soft, but especially her ears. And I'm trying to see what her eyes are. She has dark eyes, dark brown, nice black nose. And her belly, what happens with the yellow lab is usually the belly's a little bit lighter than the rest of them is.
Yeah.
So hers is kind of like a caramel color.
Yeah.
And then the same thing along the back of her hips and her thighs. And yeah, she's got a narrow frame. Like she's got a very sort of petite build to her.
Yeah, she's very nice feminine. And tiny. Mm-hmm. Agnes, sit. Good girl. Good girl. Sit.
Loves people, and she loves to have people's hands on her. She's gonna find she's always gonna want to be staying at people's feet.
Good girl.
Very excited right now.
Yes.
Yes. Good girl. And then her underneath her chin is a little bit lighter, also.
Can you see those?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Good girl. Yeah. No. Sit. 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 I know. Agnes. A-G-N-E-S. I think I'll call her Waggy Aggie.
That might be fitting.
At least
right now.
No,
Agnes, sit. Do you think she's
going to
work?
I think so.
I think so, too.
She's so tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very feminine.
Yeah.
Very feminine. She likes to have her belly rubbed. Yeah. You feel how she likes to sit on her hip when she's ready to come over.
Yeah.
You need mommy to rub your
belly. Thank you. Yeah.
Back.
Yep.
She's gonna want a forge.
Okay.
She's very excited right now. It looks like it was just kind of tangled in your wire.
Oh, I should probably not have so much wire.
I know, that's a good point.
I had it short all day.
Okay.
And then it was long.
Let's see. Let's just fix your grip here.
Oh, that's right.
Here. Let's see if that's coming down. Just like that.
Okay.
Okay. And maybe give her a little more leash. There you go. And I'm going to hold this door open for you.
Okay.
And you're going to pause at this door. If she goes through, correct her
okay.
back.
Agnes, heel.
Good.
Good girl.
Get ready to pause. Right there.
Heel.
Good girl.
Good girl. Heel. Agnes, heel. Good girl.
Okay, you want to take my arm?
Yeah. Agnes, heel.
Good girl.
Good girl. Good girl.
Well, that looks good.
Good girl. Heel.
Good for you.
Good girl. Heel.
Good for you.
Good girl.
Pause.
Good girl. Agnes.
Good.
Heel. Good girl.
Okay, Mom.
Good girl.
I'm going to have you just leave your door propped open and
okay.
just hang out with her, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to put your harness. Where do you want me to put your harness?
Oh,
On that hook?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and do you have my camera?
Oh, Molly has it.
Molly.
I'll get it
okay.
in a sec. And you don't need the harness until tomorrow.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Have fun. I'll see you in a few.
I like your eyes. I like your nose. I like your mouth, your ears, your hands, your toes. I like your face. It's really you. I like the things you say and do. There's not a single soul who sees the skies the way you see them through your eyes. And aren't you glad
See? That's your place. That's your place. Yes. Agnes, heel. 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 Whoopsie. Good girl. Good girl. Agnes, heel. Good girl. Good girl.
Love that song. Absolutely love it. And the journey is just beginning with Marlena and Agnes as they return home to Seattle. And let us now bring in Marlena Lieberg of the Marlena Program. Welcome to the Marlena Program, Marlena.
Hi, Jeff. It's great to be on your program, our program.
Something like that.
Somebody's program.
Something like that, indeed.
Yeah.
So, now, the last time we heard from you was a recorded segment that we did last Sunday. And so you want to give us a week update here?
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Yeah, let's see. So I actually am trying to remember what we did last Sunday.
You want me to pull up the outline here? I have some. You can do it.
Oh, sure, I can do it. What the heck? First of all, I again want to congratulate you for the last hour. And I'm so glad that people like Nikki and Hap and Pam and Dave called in. I mean, that was a wonderful, wonderful show.
I was a bit worried about it, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not a thing that...
No, yeah. I wasn't sure how it was going to come across.
No, but it was a great, great show.
Yeah, it was really good. I think you should bring that topic more often.
Well, I will.
Yeah, it was a good one.
I absolutely will. And it really is a topic that needs to be discussed and explored in greater depth.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, okay. So last Sunday at this time, Agnes and I were starting to think about, oh my gosh, this is it's our last week, it's our last few days, and really the last week at Guide Dogs for the Blind is, it's kind of a review week. You get all the stuff thrown at you that you've gotten in the previous two, and for the first timers, the previous 3 weeks. And so what that means is that you might be out walking and all of a sudden you have a car zooming at you, and it's some crazy Guide Dogs for the Blind trainer trying to run you over. But you don't know it's going to happen, then that's called a traffic check. Walking through neighborhoods with loose dogs, dogs that are on their leashes, people that are perhaps maybe what one might call alternative people, living kind of life, sort of marching to the beat of their own drum.
Uh-huh.
Totally think it's cool to try to feed your dog a cookie.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, what a cool thing to do. Oh my gosh. And so the last week you sort of you get all this stuff that's real life stuff that gets thrown your way, and the trainers hang further and further back from you. And I can remember at one point I thought, oh my gosh, where's the trainer? And then I thought, you are not taking Becky home in your pocket. So get back to reality, kiddo. One of the most interesting things that Guide Dogs does is the particular supervisor for our class, whose name is Jim Dugan, works with the Transportation Safety Administration, and he helps them to develop the regulations for processing service and guide dogs through security at airports. So on Thursday of this week, we went to the Portland airport. And I thought, oh, well, this is just going to be, you know, fine. The trainer will be with us, fine. No big deal. Wrong-o. We get to security. The trainer said, bye. You're on your own.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. Here I am with this brand-new dog in a security line. And Joe Q Public,
yeah, exactly,
trying to make his flight behind me. And they put me in a line, guess what, to, of all places, Seattle.
Nice.
And the trainer said, don't even think about it, Marlena. You don't have a ticket.
I got it. Yeah. Can you look up my ticket? It's in the computer.
I said, surely I must have a ticket. They said, no, you don't have a ticket. Well, so we get to the place, you know, and you got to take your shoes off. So I did that, and I'm thinking, I ain't flying, man. What am I going to do all this for? Nope, you got to take your shoes off, and you got to take everything off. Well, Guide Dogs for the Blind uses, I think maybe a relatively new training system of food reward. So
right, yeah, very controversial, at least for me. Yeah,
very controversial, yeah. But let me tell you, it works.
That's awesome.
My little girl can find a chair. All I say to her is, find the chair, and she will find me a chair.
That's awesome.
And so I have this little pouch around my waist that has this kibble in it. Okay. So I take my shoes off, and they go, you got to take your pouch off. Okay, I take my pouch off. All right.
God.
Well, on the bus, I had already taken off, you know I wear a lot of jewelry.
Yep.
I'm like a girly
jingle, jingle,
girl.
Jingle. Yep.
Yeah, jingle, jingle, girly girl. So I took off all my jewelry, and we're on the bus, and the Jim said, how much more are you going to take off while we're on this bus? I said, no, I'm done. It's just jewelry. Well, I forgot my gold nugget necklace that Gary the board guy bought me on one of our trips to Alaska.
Mm.
So, you know, we get through, and all of a sudden, I put Agnes at Stitch and Stay, and I make a long leash, and I go through the security thing, and it goes beep, 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 and the lady goes, take off that necklace.
Ugh, great.
Well, under normal circumstances, I would have said, you know, wand me. You know,
exactly.
I'm not taking,
yeah.
But I'm thinking, well, I'm on Guide Dog's time. I got to be nice, you know. So I take the necklace off, and they put it in a cup, and I go through the thing.
Yeah, that's real safe.
Yeah, right. Well, wait till you hear what happened. So I go through the thing, and my little girl, she's still sitting on the other side. She's on her long leash. She's sitting like a good girl. She's staying. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, she's being so good. I'm so proud of her. Oh, my gosh. So I call her through, and I say, good girl, Agnes Heal. And she comes trotting through, and it goes beep, 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 beep.
Oh, great.
Well, of course, because of her harness.
Right, yeah.
All this. Now, I must tell you that when I travel on my own, I take the harness and leash off, and I have a completely nylon, metal-free slip collar with a leash attached. It's
okay.
All one piece.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have it with me because I didn't know I was going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I had to do it the guide dog's way, which is put your dog at sit and stay, make a long leash, go through, call the dog gets wanded, you don't. No big deal. All right. So somehow They got it all mixed up. They thought I beeped and the dog didn't beep. So we get into this glass holding room.
Oh, neat.
Well, here I have this new guide dog. We're in this room that is three sides of glass. And she is like spinning round and round. Because she's like seeing everything everywhere. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where am I? What is this thing? It was like a phone booth. And I'm standing in this, and I could feel that there was glass in front of me, glass on either side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, this lady comes through and she says, behind me, this way. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I going to get arrested? What is this? Well, very long story made very short. They made a mistake. They thought that I had beeped, not the dog. Well, by this time, I'm really nervous, and so I get to the chair. I sit in the chair, and they're, like, wanding my feet. And I am a total wreck by this time because I'm thinking, I got to watch this dog. I got to make sure she's okay. Got to make sure she's calm. I got to think of the dog. And they say, what's your dog's name? And I said, Madeline. So they get down on the ground, and they go, hello, Madeline. And Agnes lip kisses the woman.
That was sort of appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that just cracked me up. I thought, you know what? Agnes doesn't care what you call her. It's all about Agnes.
Yeah.
She doesn't care if you call her Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
So we get through, and they lost my necklace.
What?
Nobody could find it. Well, I just stopped, and I just want to tell anyone who travels, first of all, if you don't want to take a piece of clothing or jewelry off, you don't have to.
You never got it back?
Oh, I did. I did get it back. But I absolutely stood my ground, and I said, you know what? I am not moving until you find my necklace. Because, number one, it's valuable to me emotionally
mm-hmm.
and spiritually.
Right.
Number two, it's valuable financially, and I am not moving.
Holy cow.
And everything came to a screeching halt.
Where was it?
Finally, it was at Lost and Found. Someone turned it in.
Amazing.
So for anyone who's traveling, and actually Jim, our class supervisor, came to me afterwards, and he said, why'd you take it off? I said, I didn't want to embarrass guide dogs. You know, I just figured, and he said, you know what? He said, never compromise yourself for anyone.
Nope.
And that's the whole
wow.
theme at Guide Dogs. It's
amazing.
So respectful and so, so, you know, it's so focused to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so so that was the big thing this week. It was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That was a scary thing.
Oof.
So, okay, so then, you know, Friday was just kind of a rerun day, and Aggie and I went off on our own, and we just sort of did this wild route
mm-hmm.
where we went to all our favorite merchants in downtown Gresham and said goodbye, and she had a great time doing that, and she kind of enjoyed going into Jazzy Bagel and the Mystic Pony and all these other cool places that we had visited, Cafe Delirium, and said goodbye to everyone. And by that time, I knew who my puppy raiser was, but I hadn't spoken to her. And I knew that her name was Lizette Johnson and that she lived in Berthoud, Colorado. But that's all I knew. So I did a Zaba search, and I got her phone number. And we had been given their phone numbers, but I just kept missing her. So I did a Zaba search, got her address, got her phone number, and then I did a Google on her. And I discovered that wow, she does needlework. She won first prize at the Berthoud Fair on a tablecloth and
oh wow.
That. Oh my gosh, I was so excited. And and I knew she was coming to graduation. That's all I knew. So Friday afternoon we practiced for our graduation, and I came back to my room and I had a message from Lizette.
Oh, cool.
And she said, we're waiting to get on the plane, and Brad, her husband, Brad and I will be there. We're so looking forward to meeting you. Well, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to meet my puppy raiser. I'm going to actually get to talk to them and find out, you know, what was Agnes like when she was just a little girl. So Friday was spent kind of packing, and I had a lot of mixed feelings because I was a little bit concerned about coming home. I was a little concerned about how my Madeline would be, because I still so love Madeline, and she's such a gentle spirit, and I didn't want her to feel displaced. And yet, Agnes is the worker and the girl with whom I now need to bond, and so how am I going to balance all this out, and oh my gosh. So there wasn't a lot of sleep Friday night to be had in room 7 at Guide Dogs. And Saturday morning, you know, we all got up. Everybody was up by 6 Saturday morning.
Oh my
Everybody
gosh.
Was out with the dogs, like, woo, what's going on here?
Wow.
Oh my gosh, I guess we're going home.
Yeah.
What's going on? And and Gary and Madeline came at about 10.
Oh, they were there early.
Yes, we got special permission so that the girls could meet each other. Well, Gary calls me on his cell, and he says, I'm in the dorm. I'm up by the dining room. And I get up to where they were, and poor little Madeline got so nervous. She had a little accident on the floor.
Oh.
And Gary was all upset. I said, you know what? This is the world of dogs. Don't
yep.
worry about it.
Yep.
So I went to the trainer, and I said, you know, Madeline had this little accident. She said, Claire, who was on my show, actually, before I left for Agnes, said, oh, don't worry. We'll take care of it. Well, the two girls met one another, and there was a little bit of apprehension from Miss Madeline initially, and Agnes thought, oh, why don't you like me? We brought them back to the room, and they spent 2 hours together just getting to know each other, a little bit of touching each other, a little bit of sniffing each other. And I have to tell you that I'm jumping ahead a bit, but last night they slept side by each together on their mats.
That's nice.
So Madeline's still a little bit like, you know, I don't know who you think you are, sister, but I'm the boss. But I think it's going to work.
Good.
So, okay, so back to graduation.
Yeah,
so,
we got to hear about graduation.
Yeah.
And you recorded it, didn't you?
You know, I didn't, but Guide Dogs did, and they will be sending me a DVD.
Okay.
And with the DVD audio extractor, I will get the audio from my portion.
Okay.
And I have permission from my puppy raisers to use that. So,
yay.
Yeah, my puppy raisers are wonderful people.
Maybe we can get that for next week's show and do that in the second hour or something.
Oh, I hope if they get it to me soon enough, I'll get it to you.
Okay. Well, we'll talk.
So about 11:30, 20 to 12, graduation's at 1:30. So about 11:30, 20 to 12, they come down, they knock on my door. Your puppy raisers are ready to meet you. Okay. So up I go, and I'm like really nervous. I'm like, oh my gosh, what if these people don't think I'm worthy of their dog? And immediately these two loving, wonderful people, Brad and Lizette, stand up, and give me a hug, and they say, oh my gosh, you look so beautiful with Agnes. Well, that just messed me up. That totally messed me up big time. And there were lots of tears, you know, and so we sat together for a while, and I handed the leash over to Lizette, who pretty much raised Agnes. And
oh, my gosh.
Even though Brad, you know, Brad was there to love her, Lizette raised her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just handed Lizette the leash, and I said, here, take her. And Agnes just loved seeing Lizette. Oh, my gosh. She just melted into her, and the two of them just hugged and hugged and hugged. And I just sat there, and I said, I cannot tell you how grateful I am that you were willing to give a year of your life
mm-hmm.
to raise our girl.
Now she was really, was she in harness then?
No, she was not. I had her harness with me,
right.
But she was not in harness.
Okay.
And you know what? I really believe that she... You know, the old proverb, it takes a village
mm-hmm.
to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a village to raise a guide dog.
Yep.
It really does.
And you know what's really neat about that, to see how they interacted, is to know that in a year, that's what your bond will be.
Yes, yes. And it just, I mean, I can't tell. I know some schools don't allow you to meet the raisers, and I mean, I guess I don't understand that, because to me, spending time with these people was like garnishing or garnering bits of gold that I would never have been able to get. I mean, I would never have known, for instance, that when Agnes was 11 weeks old, one of her favorite things to do was for Brad to hold her hind end up while he rubbed her tummy.
And,
you know, I mean,
how would you know that? Yeah.
Endearing, endearing, wonderful things to know. And
well, you could learn a lot about how they play and how you know.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. And for them, I said to them, why do you guys do this? Why do you, you know, and she was their fifth dog.
Wow.
That they've raised. I said, why do you do it? And Brad said, we do it for payday. This is payday. To see her complete her training and to see her go to someone who's going to work her, this is payday.
Do they live near you?
They're in Colorado.
Colorado, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So not too close.
Yeah.
So then I brought them back to my room, and I said, okay, you need to meet the rest of Agnes's family. And Gary
oh, cool.
was in the room with Madeline, and I told him, I said, my retired guide is here. And they're like, oh, my gosh. So they came in. And they said, I said, see this dog who's not on the bed? That's Madeline, who, of course, was on the bed.
Yeah, that's funny.
And right away, there was an instant camaraderie between, you know, them and us. And they loved Madeline. They said, oh, my gosh, what a beautiful dog Madeline is. So, okay, so then... We get our portraits taken and all this formal stuff gets done. And then it's time for graduation. Well, they take the dogs from us and give them back to the puppy raisers. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I don't want to be separated from my girl. But that's the way it is. So then they call us up alphabetically, and each person in class is given the time to say as much or as little as he or she wants to say. Some people said a lot. Some people said very little. Some people simply said thank you. some people, of course I wouldn't have been one of these, you know, emoted greatly over the joy of being reunited with a solid working partner. And what happens is that you come up onto the stage without the dog, the puppy raiser comes onto the stage with the dog and hands you the leash. So it's a very ceremonial sort of thing. Well, I get up there, of course I'm L in the alphabet, and there's all these people before me, and as the trainer was walking me up to the stage, she said, and it was Claire, she said, Madeline just stood up and looked at you and wagged her tail. And I just lost it.
Yeah.
I just completely lost it.
Hmm.
So I got up on the stage, and they said, you know, Marlena Lieberg from Seattle, this is her eighth guide dog. And they gave me the mic, and I said, you'd think after eight times I'd know what to do up here. But I was speechless. And all I could say was thank you for finding another dog that so closely matched Madeline, that so closely in her work ethic, in her personality, in her lovingness matched my Madeline. And I told everyone that Madeline was in the audience, and people clapped for her.
Mm.
And then Gary the board guy donated to the school the cost of Agnes's harness. And I presented a check to the school and said that this is from Gary, but it is also from Madeline, who is passing on the torch to Agnes.
Mm.
And, of course, by this time, I'm like a wreck.
Yeah, how did you get that out?
Oh, my gosh. It wasn't easy. And then I said to my classmates, for those of you whose first dog this is, you will never know the joy that you are about to discover. And I so welcome you to this world of freedom, of movement, of just being able to move about in a comfortable, relaxed way. And, I mean, I was sort of a blithering idiot, was what it really turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
So then after graduation, we kind of hung out, and there were several dogs from Colorado. There was one dog who was what they call a buddy dog, and that buddy dog went to a child who was not learning to get a guide dog, but rather learning to get a dog.
Nice.
And her name was Marina. So she was sitting right behind me, and I said, Marina, and she was probably about 10.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Marina, I'm Marlena. And not only do we have similar names, but our dogs were both raised in Colorado, and we're getting them today. And she was like, wow, that's cool. So we spent a little time with the puppy club afterwards, and then we went back to the room, collected the stuff, got in the car, and headed for the hotel. And at the hotel, we had dinner with Brad and Lizette, who raised her, and Brad's brother and son and girlfriend, and our neighbor Chuck, and my friend Judy Barnes from Portland, whom I hadn't seen in 20-something years. And it was just wonderful. It was just a great, it was like a wedding feast. You had people with you to celebrate a new partnership, a new beginning. Madeline was there under the table with Gary, lying at his feet. Agnes was there lying at my feet.
Yeah.
And it was just great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So now, then you left Saturday night, I suppose.
Oh, we left Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, okay.
We stayed over at the hotel.
Okay.
Saturday night. We have a great picture of Madeline and Agnes on their mats together at the foot of my bed.
Got to put it on the website.
I know. I know. And so we got up early this morning, and I thought, oh, gosh. You know, for people who don't have a guide dog, one of the things you worry about is, oh, my gosh, is my dog going to pee and poop?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
pee and poop.
I think Jacinda,
oh my gosh.
I think Jacinda took like 4 days before she pooped.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I was so worried. Oh my gosh. What if she doesn't pee and poop? Took this little girl out this morning, peed and pooped instantly. I was like, oh my gosh, thank you.
Yeah, thank God.
So then we went in, we had our breakfast. The two girls were under the table together. We had our breakfast. We went back out to the car. We put the girls in the middle part of the van, so they were snuggled up right one next to the other. And we drove home 3.5 hours. And
that's
here
great.
We are.
That's great. And you're home. And you know, we're almost done with the show.
It's a whirlwind.
Yeah. So briefly, what do you have planned for this week?
Well, we have a few trips. Tomorrow we've got to go buy Agnes a beanbag chair. Discovered she loves beanbag chairs. We've got to get her some dog food. Mommy has to go to the doctor for her hand tomorrow at 8:30.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, we're still seeing the hand doctor. We've got to go to the vet. We're going to a wine tasting tomorrow night.
Holy cow!
And, so you know, we're just getting
busy little beavers
here.
Tomorrow.
Well, we're getting back into it.
Yeah, well, great. So, and then we have one more week of me.
Oh, and I'm so glad because you do such a great job.
and then you're back.
Would you be my producer?
No.
Oh. But you're much more interesting than me.
I don't think so.
What?
I'm running out of ideas. Actually, I have an idea, but we'll take that offline. I have an idea that may involve you next week.
Wahoo! I'm ready.
Yeah, are you open? Are you free next Sunday?
For you, okay. I'm free anytime.
Well, I thought we might want to do a repeat of Books and Beyond, sort of.
Woohoo! Oh no, not that.
sort of, because
oh,
we haven't, because no one's really done it on the Marlena program.
No one really has.
No, and I think we need to.
Oh dear.
So next, and we're going to get a lot more involved in just weirdness of Marlena.
No, weirdness.
Weirdness
oh,
of Marlena.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we want to hear about your first kiss and things like that.
Oh, Agnes, forward.
So, if you'll agree, we're going to have Marlena on as a guest next week, and we're going to interview Marlena.
Well, I guess I have to agree now,
and
don't
if you
I?
Have, and if you have any questions for Marlena that you've always wanted to know, then you got to call in next week and we'll
ask them. You
know what?
You used to be such a good friend of mine.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but... Oh, well. Well, listen, we got to go because we're running out of time.
Yeah, we got to go, all right.
All right. Well, actually, let me cut this. I thought we were going to be able to transition pretty easily into that, but obviously not.
Yeah, we're still streaming.
Yeah, no. Yeah, oh, I know, but I actually was playing the Kenny G thing and your thing right up next to each other, and you started talking, and so we're going to let you go.
Okay, let me go.
But we'll talk to you next week.
I'll be here.
It's sort of appropriate that you'll be on the Halloween show.
Yeah.
Good night, Marlena.
Good night, Jeff. I love you.
We'll see ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. There goes Marlena. And she'll be on next week as we learn all about her. And we did a little bit of this on Books and Beyond, but we're going to do more of it. Yeah, that's right. We're going to find out all kinds of weird, wacky things. And actually, you will be able to call in and ask her all the questions that you ever wanted to know about the great Marlena. So this should definitely be entertaining. Good night, everybody. We'll see all of you next week on the Marlena program.
And this is the music of Lee Rettenhauer, a little dolphin dreamin', as we go out for this week. It's been a joy to be with you. I hope you'll come back next week right here on ACB Radio Mainstream. Let me thank the team that helps make all of this happen. That's Chrissy Cochran in the UK, Jeff Shang in Australia, and Gary the Board Guy in the other room. We'll be back again, same time, same place, next week here on ACB Radio Mainstream. But if you'd like to send me an email in the meantime, you can address it to Marlena. That's MARLAINA at acbradio.org. Till we're together again, have a great week, and we'll see you next time, right here on Mainstream.